Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins the second line under the Rashi commentary. There you will notice a two dots there. That's from the printer. Tanya. We should point out that we continue the topic that we discussed in our last year regarding a Baal Keri and his allowance or prohibition from study of Torah until he would immerse himself in a mikveh. Tanya, Reb Yehuda ben Becerra hoya oimer, ein divrei Torah mekablin tuma. He has an extreme opinion in the context of the various opinions we've seen. He simply says that there is no need to immerse oneself, even if he's a Baal Keri, for the study of Torah, because Torah does not absorb tuma. Maisa b'talmid echad, there was an incident with a student who was in fact a Baal Keri, shoya megamgem lemalo me Reb Yehuda ben Becerra, who was reading Torah quickly because of his state of being a Baal Keri, that is, of course, a male who experienced a male emission, an ejaculation, and he was reading very quickly because of his being a Baal Keri. Omar Lay, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says to him, Bini, psach picha v'yairu dvorecha, open your mouth and let the light come forth. She'ein divrei Torah mekablim tuma. Torah does not absorb tuma. She'ne'emar, halo kol dvorai ke'esh ne'um Hashem. Ma'esh, in this pasuk, which is referring to dvorai, the words of Hashem, which is in effect Torah, Torah is portrayed as fire. Ma eish enon mekablim tuma, just like fire is something that doesn't absorb tuma. Af divrei Torah enon mekablim tuma, so too Torah is something that is not able to absorb tuma. We can say that Torah is impervious to tuma. Therefore, a Baal Keri has no problem studying Torah. Omar Mar. This is a quote from something we've seen earlier, not today, but at the end of our last year. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above, and it's pointing to the line where this was found. Matzia es ha-Mishnah ve'eno matzia es ha-Gemara. This was an opinion in the source that was featured by Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, who said that a Baal Keri, before he immerses himself in a mikveh, he can study Mishnayos with explanations, however, not the same with regard to the Gemara. Mesaya lei the Reb Eloi, this supports Reb Eloi's teaching, the Omar Reb Eloi, Omar Rav Acho Bar Yaakov, Mishum Rabbeinu, in the name of Rav, Halocha, Matzia es HaMishnah, Ve'eno, Matzia es HaGemara. Rav ruled that a Baal Keri is allowed to Matzia es HaMishnah, and Rashi's Pshat and Matzia, we saw last time, had to do with offering explanations. The Oruch, on the other hand, said Matzia has to do with teaching to others. So, following the Oruch's Pshat, he would be saying that the Baal Keri could teach Mishnayos to others, but he cannot teach Gemara to others. Ketanoi. This issue is a machlokes tanoim. Matzias, and you can see we have a Tanaic source in which we will see two opinions. Matzias a Mishnah ve'eno Matzia es haGemara. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion we just saw. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Ze v'ze Oser. Both Mishnah and Gemara are forbidden to the Baal Keri. The Amri Law. Another version is Ze v'ze Muter. Both are allowed for the Baal Keri. And the Gemara now goes over these last two explanations, Man de Omar, or I should say these last two opinions. Now the explanation, Man de Omar Ze v'ze Oser Ku Rabbi Yochanan Hasandlar. This parallels Rabbi Yochanan Hasandlar, who was featured earlier. We have a little star to the right-hand side of the Lornothex. You can align it with a star that we put in above. And you'll see on that line, Rabbi Yochanan Asanlo's name appears, where he says, Lo ikones lemedrash kol ikr. In other words, a Baal Keri is not to engage in medrash and Torah study whatsoever. So this opinion that says both Mishnah and Gemara also conforms to his approach. Now, the other approach featured in this recent source, Man de'amar zev zeh mutar, that both Mishnah and Gemara are allowed for the Baal Keri, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. That conforms to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra that we saw today at the opening of our shir, who said, Ein divrei Torah mekablin tuma. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Nohug almo kehani tlas savi. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says that the world follows the opinion of the following three Rabbonim, Rabbi Loi Breshis Hagez, Rabbi Yoshia Bekilayim, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Bedivrei Torah. These are three areas that are seemingly unrelated in halacha, but he, Rabbi Nachman says that we follow their opinions in these respective areas. The opinion of Divrei Torah is that which refers to our sukkah, but the other two, the Gemara explains, Kerebi, and we use triangles to feature the each one of the names with the sources that they are referring to. So we say Kerebi Eloi Bereshis Hagez. We follow Rabbi Eloi's opinion with regard to the mitzvah of Bereshis Hagez. Bereshis Hagez is the requirement of a tithe be given from one's shearings of wool to the Kohen. A Kohen receives, assuming that a person has a certain minimum amount of shearings when he shears his sheep, a certain amount of the shorn wool is given to a Kohen. And now, what is Rebbe Loi's point on this matter? Desanya, Rebbe Loi Oimer, Reishis Hagez Eino Noeg Ela Baretz. His unique point is, and that is what we follow, according to the Gemara here, that the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez, even though it's not something that is botanically related, in other words, it's not something that is a mitzvah like all other agricultural tithes are tithed from that which grow forth from the ground, which naturally apply only in the land of Israel. This is a tithe from animals that are not ground related, and yet he holds that it too is bound only in Eretz Yisrael. It's binding only in Eretz Yisrael, and hence it, if one has is shearing sheep outside of Israel, there would be no tithe of the wool given to Kohanim. The next opinion, Rabbi Yoshia b'Kilayim, Hidichtiv, Rabbi Yoshia's opinion comes forth in Kilayim. Well, the Pasuk says, Lo Sizra Karmachol Kilayim. There's a prohibition of planting one's vineyard in a mixed variety fashion. That's Kilayim. Now, what is Rabbi Yoshia's opinion of Kilayim? When is it violated? So you'll see it's a very limited prohibition. Rabbi Yoshia Yomer Le'olam Eino Chayav Ad Sheyizra Chita U'Soira V'Chartzen B'Mapoilus Yad. He says that one violates this pasuk of Lo Sizra Karmachol Kilayim only if one were to plant a barley and wheat, a chita is wheat, sower barley, chartzen is a grape seed, b'mapolis yad, in one hole in the ground, planting those three varieties together. Only then is one guilty of kilayim of the vineyards. The next halacha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, which is familiar to us, Divrei Torah, we follow him with regard to Torah, design Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Omei Ein Divrei Torah Mekablin Tuma. So as far as Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok is concerned, there is no need for immersion in a mikveh in order for a Baal Keri to study Torah. He also Zi'iri Omar, Batlua Litevilusa, V'Amri Lo, another version of what Zi'iri said was Batlua Linetilusa. Now the Gemara explains, Man domar batlua litevilusa, that they canceled the need for mikveh immersion. What is that a reference to? That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. That's because it was finally adopted to, or finally decided to follow his opinion. Hence, Baal Keri doesn't need to go to mikveh in order to learn Torah. Man domar batlua litevilusa, that they canceled the need for hand washing. In what context? In accordance with Rav Chisda's teaching that we have learned back on Daf Tesvov, that he, Rav Chisda, used to ridicule those who seek out water at the time of davening, so that the need for hand washing before davening was the requirement for it was voided. Tonu Rabbonon. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new topic, and on the side of the Gemara, we have this listed as a tat nosei, a subtopic, because we're in the general realm of Baal Keri and Divrei Torah, but here we're going to talk about the Tisha Kav in Mayim, 9 Kav. Kav is a measure, 9 Kav of water that would be poured over a Baal Keri as a means of purification, and we're sticking to the realm of purification for the study of Torah. There are different forms of purification that exist in halacha in general. The more common ones are immersion in a mikveh containing 40 saw. 40 saw is a much larger quantity than 9 kav. 40 saw is a 3 cubic amas. It's enough water for a person's body to be immersed completely within. There's another method of purification that is very popular, and that's hand washing. Here, we will talk about this new quantity, 9 kav of water. Let's continue in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Baal Keri, Shenosnu Alav Tisha Kav in Mayim, Tohor. A Baal Keri, upon whom was poured 9 kav of water, is purified and does not need to go to a mikveh of 40 saw. Once again, we're talking about purification for the study of Torah. Nochem Ish Gamzu, Loch Shol Rabbi Akiva. Nochem Ish Gamzu was the Rebbe, the teacher of Rabbi Akiva. He taught this in a private fashion. Loch Shol indicates a quiet delivery of information. Rabbi Akiva, Loch Shol Leben Azai, Uben Azai Yotza Vishono Letalmidov Vishuk. And Ben Azai went and publicly expounded on this and taught this option of 9 kav to the students in a shuk is a public area, so that Ben Azai reflects a leniency or a publicizing of this leniency. Pligi bo tre amoroi b'marova. There is a controversy between two amoroim in Eretz Israel, and their names are Rabbi Yosi bar Ov and Rabbi Yosi bar Zavida. Chad toni shana. One has as his version of the source that which we in fact read. Shana means he taught it in a public fashion. Ben Azai taught the din of 9 kav publicly. You'll notice that we dot underline the word shana in the source to draw your attention to these two opinions that they're dealing with that word. Now, Chad Toni, the other opinion says lochasha. He also, like his predecessors, he communicated it to his students in a quiet, non-public fashion. The Gemara now goes over, explains these two approaches. Man detoni shana, he who teaches the shana approach, the public approach, it was because his consideration was it's very important for the public, for everyone to become aware of this, mishum bitul Torah, because of that concern, umishum bitul piriviribya, Gemara explains. Bittul Torah is that if a Baal Keri is not going to be allowed to study Torah until he finds a mikveh, 40 saw, so that's going to result in a reducing or lessening of Torah being learned, because it's a trouble, it's greater trouble to find and immerse oneself in a mikveh. So as an alternative, easier option, the 9 kav is offered, and that will reduce the problem of bittul Torah, of non-Torah study. I mean, there will be increased Torah study as a result of being able to take advantage of this leniency. Umishum bittul piriviribya is that people will restrain themselves from intimacy with their wives, intimacy which would, of course, lead to procreation, which is the term bittul, which is the term piriviribya. And since men will restrain themselves from intimacy because they know that they won't be able to continue learning unless they find a mikveh of 40 saw. So by giving this option of 9 kav, people will not restrain themselves from intimacy and rather engage in it, thereby resulting in increase of children. Man detoni lochasha, uman detoni lochasha, the opinion that says that Ben Azai followed his predecessors in communicating the 9 kav leniency in a quiet fashion. He didn't want to publicize it. Why not? Because he was satisfied with the situation that people did restrain themselves from intimate contact with their wives. Shelo yu talmidei chachamim mitzuyim etzel nishoseim ketar negoilim, so that talmidei chachamim, Torah sages, Torah scholars, will not be found, mitzuyim, found by their wives like roosters. Apparently a description of male-female constant contact, constant proximity and contact that is characteristic of the chicken population. And we don't want our Talmidei Chachamim to be that way. So we place this obstacle, so to speak, in the way of that situation by thereby requiring a mikveh of 40 saw, and that there is a 9 kav option. So that was communicated, but only in a private fashion, thereby leaving many people still unaware of it. Omar Rebbe Yanai, Shomati Shemekilin Bo, Shomati Shemachmirin Bo. Rebbe Yanai says, I've heard that some people are lenient with regard to this, and that is that they, according to the Rashi, Shemekilin Bo Bemerchatzol, so Benesias Tishakabin, that they, Dalakaris, would immerse themselves in a bathhouse, which is not a formal mikveh, or they would use the 9 kav approach. V'shamati shemachmirin bo means that those who insisted on specifically only the 40 saw mikveh approach. V'chol hamachmir bo al atzmoi, anyone who imposes this, the more stringent approach upon himself, marichin lo yom avushnosov, this is reason for extended life. Omar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, ma tivon shel tovle shachris, what's the nature of morning immersions? So the Gemara asks, what kind of question are you asking? Mar Tivon? I think, what's the nature of them? Of course it's associated with someone who is a Baal Keri, which is most commonly experienced at night, because that's the time of intimacy. And people who are found toveling themselves, immersing themselves in the morning, it's obvious that these are people that are concerned with what we call Tevilas Ezra, Tevila of a Baal Keri for Torah. So, Ma Tivon, Ha Ihu to Omar Baal Keri also B'divrei Torah, but he, back on Daf Chof Aleph on the base, he said that a Baal Keri is forbidden in Torah study. So what's he asking over here? Hochi Ko Omar. In order to understand what Rabbi Shuman Levi is asking, we continue thusly. Ma Tivon Ba'arboim Sa'o, Efshir b'tisha kabin, mativon b'tvila, efshir b'nesina. Why are people, says Rabbi Shulman Levi, why are they insisting on 40 saw when there is a 9 kav option? Why are they insisting on tvila, which means immersion within, efshir b'nesina? It's possible to have it poured over you as well. Omar Rabbi Hanina, geder godol godru ba. The insistence on 40 saw actually serves as a fence, distancing, separating a person from sin. Desanya, and a story to illustrate that. Maisa be'echot shetova isha lidvar avera. There was an incident with a man that was overcome with a sexual impulse, and he sought a woman, obviously not his wife, for improper or illicit intimacy. Omra lo, the woman said, Reka, she said, you empty man, yesh lechar boim so shato toivel bohen, do you have a mikveh of 40 saw that you can immerse yourself in them? Very interesting phenomenon here, but also very human phenomenon, if you will. A person who is obviously, he's concerned with with a level of purity for Torah study, that she, the woman, was able to use this as a deterrent, that, listen, if we conduct this act, you won't be able to continue your Torah study. And this, in fact, had results. It says, Miad Piresh, he then desisted from continuing, from pursuing this act of intimacy. But as we said, that one should not be overcome with shame and amazement at a story like this, because there is the human factor of the impulse, or one being overcome with a sudden urge for this particular thing, even though you can see at the same time you're talking about a person that's sensitive to not only is he sensitive to Torah learning, which is obvious here, but he's sensitive to learning Torah in a state of purity. The Gemara continues, Omar Luhu Rav Huna L'Rabbonan, Raboisai, Mipnei Ma Atem Mezazlan B'Tvila Zu. Rav Huna, in exhorting his public, his students, the rabbis, those around him, he said, why are you treating the issue of immersion lightly? Why are you choosing to follow Rav Yehuda ben Beseira? Im Mishum Tzina, if your problem is you don't want to go and immerse yourself in a standard mikveh because it is cold, Efshe b'merchatzos, you can immerse yourself in a bathhouse which is warmed. Omar le Rav Chista, Rav Chista says to Rav Huna, v'chi yesh tvila b'chamin, is there such a thing as immersion in warmed water? In other words, in something other than a standard mikveh, which was in the time of the Gemara just a pit with accumulated rainwater, as opposed to a bathhouse. Omar le, so Rav Huna says to Rav Chista, Rav Ado bar Avo koi kavoseich. In your question, it's quite obvious that you are opposed to tefillah in a merchatz. Well, you should know that Rav Ada is in agreement with your approach that he too requires only a 40 sa'ah mikveh. Rabbi Zera havi Yosef be'agna demaya be'masuta. Rav Zera was sitting in a tub of water in a bathhouse. Amar lei l'shamei, Rav Zera instructed his servant, Zeal the icy litisha kabin, bring 9 kav of water, the shadi ilavoi, and pour them over me. Amale Rav Chia bar Abba, lomale lamar kulehai, why do you have to go so far? You're sitting in a tub full of water, and there's certainly 9 kav of water in the tub. Amale, so Rav Zera explains, Ke arboim saw, the way we treat 9 kav is similar in a sense to the way we treat 40 saw. Ma arboim saw b'tevila v'lo b'nesino, just like the 40 saw is limited to a specific method, and that is immersion and not pouring. Af tishakabin, also with regard to the 9 kav, is limited to a specific method. However, the method is different. B'nesino v'lo b'tevila, the 9 kav must be poured over you and not through your entering them. Therefore, even though I may be sitting in a tub of 9 kav, nevertheless, the 9 kav must be poured over me. Rav Nachman. You will see in this Gemara, there are two stages to the story surrounding Rav Nachman and his jug. It says, Rav Nachman tikein chatzva bas tisha kav, and he fashioned a jug holding 9 kav, a type of formal or official jug of 9 kav. And this Rashi says, Tikein chatzva litein maim l'talmidim aleihem shachris kodim kriyas atura. This would be used for pouring over the students in the morning before their reading of the Torah. We notice a double underline under Ki Oso Rav Dimi, and at the bottom line Ki Oso Ravin. You'll see that this represents, as we said, two stages. Ki Oso Rav Dimi Omar, Rabbi Akiva Rabbiuda Glustura, Omru, Rabbiuda Glustura, Glustura is part of his name, These Tanoim said, Lo Shonu Ela L'Chilu L'Oinsoi, that 9 kav can be used, that's with regard to a chayla, a person who is infirmed, L'Oinso, on the occasion that the ejaculation takes place in a sudden fashion, as opposed to in the context of intimacy. Aval L'Chilu Hamargil, if he is infirmed, but his zera, his carry, is a result of margil, of tashmish, of intimacy, arboim saw. Then he will need to go into a mikvah 40 saw. Omar Rav Yosef, upon hearing this, Rav Yosef reacted, since the need of 9 kav will come out only in the case of someone who is both infirmed and also it's a sudden appearance of carry, which are two minor possibilities in terms of statistically, these are two unlikely situations where these two unlikely situations combine into one person. Both he's ill, and it comes out la'onsai. Since it's so unusual, there's no real need to have an official 9 kav jug available for the very unusual circumstance. So he says in a figure of speech, Isbar chatzve de Rav Nachman. The jug of Rav Nachman is broken. Broken meaning it's of very little public value. Ki also Rovin Omar. Now, Rovin comes and tells us about a different approach to the nine kav, and he says, "Beusha habe uvda." In Usha, the name of a city, there was an event, an incident. Bekilo, we're at the top of the of Omid Beis. Bekilo, the Rav Oshaya. The Bekilo is a porch, an entrance to a house. So at the on the porch of Rav Oshaya, the following incident or conversation took place. Also, Bishalulu Rav Asi. The question was posed to Rav Asi concerning methods of purification for a Baal Keri. Omar Lu and Rav Asi said, "Lo shonu elo l'chula hamargil." The need of nine kav is for a person who is infirmed, but he engaged in intimacy, which is a more common situation than chula l'oinsoi. So it's under those circumstances that nine kav would be used. Avol l'chula l'oinsoi poter miklum, but regarding that very unusual case, there is no need whatsoever. If his keri comes, if a chayla's keri comes to oinus, there's no need for purification. So when is there the use of nine kav? Chayla hamargil. Well, as we said, that's a more common situation than chayla l'oinsoi. Omer of Yosef, it's tamid chatzvei derav Nachman. So in continuing the analogy and the reference to Rav Nachman's jug, Rav Yosef says, oh, so now his jug has been itztam, it comes back together, it's like repaired. Since before he used the term it broke, so now he says it's repaired, meaning now there is greater need for it, and hence it's good that we have an official nine kav jug around. Michti, kulu amoroi v'tanoi b'de'ezra komifugi. All of these different opinions that we've seen till now, and we've seen quite a few opinions from amongst amoroim and amongst tanoim regarding Ezra and his legal requirement or innovation of having a Baal Keri immerse himself. So many different opinions. Is it not possible that someone around us would know what exactly Ezra instituted? V'nechsi Ezra hechi tiken. Let's just go check out what Ezra established. Tosfos points out there are many cases in the Shas involving Takonis that the Gemara doesn't raise this question. Let's go see what the original version was. And that's because it could very well be that we can't go and see what it is. However, since we're dealing with Tevilas Baal Keri, the phenomenon of a man being having experienced Keri is very common. And since it's very common, there must be a solid awareness, a solid tradition as to what the original Takana was. We're not dealing with something that happened on rare occasion and could have become murky over the generations. So the Gemara feels free in asking, well, just let's see what the original Takana was. Why is there so much argument? So as we go on in the Gemara, we see diamonds around Abaye, and a few lines later, Rava, on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have noted, Shnei Deos Bema Hoya Takonas Ezra Hamakori. There are two opinions reflected here in what was included in the original Ezra institution or ruling, Uvameh Choku Ha'amoroim Acharkach. And what was the point of controversy amongst the Amorim later? We saw Rav Dimi and Rovin at the bottom of Omid Aleph. Now, Abaye presents his opinion, and Rava will present his opinion later. To make things easier, because of the fact that this section of Gemara is characterized by many, many different factors, it, in fact, is a very easy piece of Gemara if you take into consideration that the numbers or the statistics reported by Abaye and Rava are all the same. You'll see they do not argue with one another regarding statistics. The only point of difference is with regard to who is responsible for instituting the nine kav of water option. We'll try to make this clear as we go along in the Gemara. So we begin, Omar Abaye, Ezra Tikain, number one, Labori Hamargil Arboim Saw, a healthy individual who experiences carry through intimacy, he has to go into a mikveh 40 saw. Ubori la'onso, a healthy person who had a sudden emission, na tisha kabin. So according to Abaye, tisha kabin is part of the original Ezra takona. If we skip for a moment to Rava, we will here highlight the difference between Abaye and Rava. We go to the diamond, where you see Elamah Rava, Ezra Tikain, Tevila Labori Hamargil Arboim Saw. This, by the way, is the same as Abaye. This is the same as Abaye number 1, that a Bori Hamargil goes into a mikveh 40 Saw. The Asu Rabbonan. Now here we dot underline Rabbonan to highlight that this is the point of difference. According to Rava, it's a later rabbinic innovation, the Eskinu Labori La'onso Tisha Kabin. The later Rabbonan instituted a 9 kav option for someone who had, for a healthy person, that had a sudden emission. According to Abaye, the 9 kav institution was from Ezra himself. Let's go back to Abaye. It might be pointed out that according to Abaye, you don't have this interim stage of later rabbinic intervention and innovation. And we continue with Abaye. The Osu Amoroi Upligi. Amoroi is a reference to Rav Dimi and Ravin. They came along and conducted their controversy, their machlokes, concerning the sick, the infirmed individual. Let us point out that Rava says the same thing. Rava also, you'll see, when we get to that later, if you want to skip down and find it, where he says, the Osu Amoroi V'komifligi B'choyle. So that Rava and Abaye, from this point on, from the Osu Rabbonon and the in this case it's a reference to Rav Dimi and Ravin, Upligi B'chola, they are saying the same thing. So there should be no confusion in studying this section of Gemara. So continuing back with Abaye, the Osu Amoroi. Amoroi, a reference to Rav Dimi and Ravin that we learned at the bottom of Omid Aleph. Upligi B'chola, Mar Sovar, one opinion. Was Choyla Hamargil, Kibori Hamargil, and that would mean that a Choyla Hamargil uses 40 saw. The Choyla Leonsoi, Kibori Leonso, and a Choyla that has a sudden emission, then he will be like a Bori Leonso, and a Bori Leonso would mean 9 Kav. Umor Sovar. Choyla hamargil kibori leonso, a choyla that has an emission through tashmish, is like a bori leonso, which will mean only 9 kav. The choyla leonsoi poter miklum, and a choyla that has a sudden emission would be exempt altogether. And that would reflect the second of the Amoroim opinion that we saw, namely Robin's approach. And we saw this on the third line from the top of this particular omid. Continuing with the Gemara. Rava, Omar Rava, Nihi, the Tikein Ezra Tvila, granted that Ezra is responsible for the takona of immersion in a mikveh. However, Nesino mi Tikein, was Ezra responsible here? The issue is concerning who is responsible. So Rava is attacking Abaye's point that Ezra was responsible for this. So Rava says, was Ezra responsible for Nesina, the Omar Mar, Ezra Tikein, Tevila, Labale Kerian? The source in Bava Kama says that Ezra was responsible for instituting Tevila, immersion for a Baal Keri. Immersion is not Nesina. Nesina is pouring over as opposed to entering into a pool of 40 saw, namely a mikveh. Elo Omar Rava. So Rava will reflect his point now that the 9 kav does not emanate from Ezra. Elo Omar Rava, Ezra Tikein, Tevila Labori Hamargil, Arboim Saw, the Osu Rabbonon, Vihiskinu, Labori Leonso, Tisha Kabin. So the Tisha Kabin is a institution from the Rabbonon later than Ezra. The Osu Amoroim v'komiflugi b'chola, and Rovin and Rav Dimi, they argue concerning the realm of a chola, of an infirmed individual. Mor sovar chola hamargil kibori hamargil, which would mean 40 saw for the chola hamargil, and for chola onso kibori onso, and the chola that has the sudden emission will use 9 kav like a bori leonso. Umor sovar. the next few words are just put in brackets only because they're not part of the controversy. But we read in the brackets, Labori Hamargil Mem Saw, we can say that's obvious. The Choyle Hamargil Kibori Leonso, the Choyle, the infirmed individual that has an emission through Tashmish, will be Kibori Leonso Tisha Kabin, 9 Kabin, Avol, Choyle Leonso Poter Miklum. This is what we saw before. We saw Abaye say the same thing, which in effect was quoting Rovin's approach. Omar Rova, Hilchisa Bori Hamargil, V'choyle Hamargil, Arboim Sa'a. Ubori Le'oinsoi, Tisha Kabin. Avol, Choyle Le'oinsoi, Potter Miklum. Rashi points out that Rova is saying Hilchisa in the context of the previous opinions that were reported in the Gemara. However, Rashi is quick to point out that on a practical halachic basis, we are going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, as that was reflected by Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who was a later opinion, later than Rava, and hence the later halachic ruling carries with it a greater weight with insofar as how we are to conduct ourselves. And that's the term that you find in rabbinic literature as Hilchasa Kibasra'a. The reference, by the way, to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was that Rashi mentions is found on Daf Chof Beis Omed Aleph in the wide lines of the Gemara right before the series of triangles appeared. There Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak mentioned that the world follows the opinion of three sages, and one of them, in fact, was Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who appeared in a triangle there, indicating to us that this is an opinion to be followed. We turn back to the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonan. Balkeri shenosnu alav tisho kabin mayim tohor. A balkeri over whom 9 kav was poured, that is effective in purifying him and enabling him to learn Torah. Bamed Vor Mamurim Laatsmo. This is true with regard to personal Torah study, Avolachirim, but in order to teach others, the Baal Keri would require Arboim Sa'ah. We now read the Seifa of this source, and it will need explanation, and which the Gemara will deal with later. It says Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mem Sa'ah Mikol Mokom. That phrase we'll just leave unexplained until we get into the Gemara. We continue, Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Yishu ben Levi, that's a pair of Rabbanan, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, another pair of Rabbanan. Chad mehai zuga, v'chad mehai zuga, aresha, one rabbi from each pair, aresha, refer their comments to the resha. In other words, there is a machloikis between two rabbis from each pair regarding the Resha. And if you skip down a couple lines later, you'll see V'chad Mehai Zuga, V'chad Mehai Zuga Asefa, and one rabbi from each pair will be arguing about the explanation of the Seifa of this source. With our markings, we try to emphasize this structure. So now the Gemara. After reading the four names, which are understood as two and two, so Chad Mehai Zuga V'Chad Mehai Zuga Aresha, one from this pair and one from that pair of rabbis are on the Resha, argue about the Resha. Chad Omar, one says, Hodi Amris Bamed Vamurim Le'atzmo Avolachirim Memsa. The qualification of the Tanaic source that said, when is 9 Kav effective? That's only for personal matters, personal Torah learning, not for public Torah learning. Loi shanu elo l'choyle hamargil. Lo shanu, that there is a 40 sa'ah requirement for public teaching, that's only if it's a choyle hamargil. Avo l'choyle l'oinsoi tisha kavin. So you see, one of these opinions is making a distinction within within the realm of Choylem. V'chad omar kol la'achirim afilu chilu lo'insoy. This is a more strict opinion and says, whenever you're dealing with the public, even if it's chilu lo'insoy, which would be the most lenient scenario, adiko mem saw, you have to have a mikveh of 40 saw. He is, this is, as we say, a stricter opinion that places the emphasis not on the state of the Baal Keri, but rather the receivers of the Torah study, the public in this case. V'chad mehai zuga, v'chad mehai zuga, asefa. Chad omar, hodi omar rebuta, mem sa'a, or arboim sa'a mikomakom. Lo shanu ela bakarka. This requirement is such when you're dealing with a pit or a pool dug out of the ground. Aval bekelim loy. But if you're dealing with kelim, then not so. Kelim are vessels, then not so. The Rashi comments on the upper half of the Rashi commentary. Lo shanu elo bekarka, lo temo mikomokim drebuda lachshuri bekli osa. Don't think that when he says 40 saw mikomakom, that Reb Yehuda's intent is to allow immersion in vessels. The ein kosher ela mem saw bekarka. 40 saw is allowed only if it's in the ground. In other words, 40 saw is not a quantity that will always be effective. It's only effective. It's 40 saw of water in the ground, in a pool or a pit dug out of the ground. So when he says here, lo shanu bakarka, that 40 saw is an option, that's only in the ground. But kelim lo, 40 saw is not an option if one were to think of entering a large portable tub that has 40 saw in it. That won't work. V'chad omar afilu bekelim nami. Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that 40 saw is effective even if it were 40 saw in a vessel. The Gemara continues, Bishlam alamandam arfilu bekelim. According to this second opinion, it would make more sense to say, to that explanation of Rabbi Yehuda makes more sense. Hainu dekotani, Rabbi Yehuda omer mem saw mikomakom. The expression mikomakom means under all circumstances. It's an inclusive type expression. So if you say 40 saw are effective inclusively, you would be saying including 40 saw in a vessel. According to the first of these two opinions regarding the seifa that said 40 saw is an option provided it's in the ground and not in a vessel, mikol makom lasuyei, what does the inclusive expression mikol makom come to include? Answer, lasuyei mayim shuuvim, to include the scenario of drawn water, which is as follows. In general, for other kinds of tumah, for purification of standard tumah, drawn water, that would mean water drawn in vessels and then poured into a ground pit, which we would call a mikveh, that would not be effective. Mayim shuvim would not be effective. However, in the case of a Baal Keri being toivel for Divrei Torah, we say 40 saw in a ground pool, in a bakarka, are effective under all circumstances, meaning not whether it's naturally accumulated rainwater or even if it's drawn water. We continue with an incident involving three Rabbonim, Rav Popa, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, the Rava Bar Shmuel, Krichu Rifta Bahade Adadi. They had a Krichu Rifta, has to do with their having a meal together. Omar le Rav Popa, Havu li Lididi Livruch. Let me lead in the bracha. Generally speaking, this would be a bracha of Birchas Hamazon. Let me lead the Birchas Hamazon. I'll recite the Birchas Hamazon in the Zimun form, and in the time of the Gemara, it was very common to have one person recite and everyone else would listen and be Yotze with his Birchas Hamazon. So let me say the bracha. Why? Denafel Ilovoi Tisha Kaben. I was purified from Keri through Tisha, through the pouring of three of nine kav. Amalhu Rava Bar Shmuel. The third of the Rabbanan says, third in the list of Rabbanan that we had before is Rava Bar Shmuel says, Tanina Bamed Vamurim Latzmo Avalachirim Memsa. he argues or objects to Rav Papa's suggestion because he says that the nine kav that you used, that's only for personal Torah related matters. But when it comes to the when it comes to affecting others, whether it's teaching others or in our case reciting the bracha for others, you need 40 saw. So you didn't purify yourself with the required amount. Elahavu li ledidi, says Rav Barshmul, give to me the right to lead the bracha. Havu li ledidi livroich denafel iluvoi arboim saw. The word nafal luvoi, usually, I mean, the literal translation is was poured over me, but Rashi says lav dafka, doesn't mean poured over me, because 40 saw is not used through a pouring method, but rather I immersed myself in a pool of 40 saw. So therefore I am qualified for leading the bracha. Omar luhu Rav Huna. Rav Huna, who was also in the group, he was the second in the list of Rabbonim, the third speaker right now, he says, Havu li ladidi livroch, let me lead the brocha. The leko ilvoi lohai velohai. I had neither the nine kav nor the 40 saw, because I had not been tomei to begin with. Rav Chama tovil b'mali yomer de pischa. Rav Chama immersed himself on Erev Pesach, Lehotzi Rabim Yedechoy Vosan, in order to be motzi others, to exempt others from their requirement. The less Hilchasov Kavosei, but we do not follow his ruling. And Rashi explains this, the less Hilchasov Kavosei, the Chiheshi Glatzmo Benesino, just like for oneself, nine kav of pouring would be enough. Lachirinami Benesino, for others, nine kav would be enough. As opposed to what Rav Chama did, is he was toivel in a mikveh. Inami, another reason or explanation for why the Gemara says less hilchos kavasei is very simply the kaim along Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser. We hold that the Balkeri is not forbidden to begin with from matters of Torah in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser. The Mishnah. Hoya oimed betfilo v'nizkar shu Balkeri. A person is in the middle of Shmona Esrei and remembers that he is a Baal Keri and hadn't gone to mikveh. Lo yafsik elo yakatzir. He shouldn't stop, but rather yakatzir. Rashi, lo yafsik, tfilosu legami, shouldn't stop his davening altogether, his Shmona Esrei. Elo yakatzir, kol brochu brocha, ivi omer, kol habrochas bekotzir. He should shorten each brocha. Right now, it's most likely shorten them text-wise, but it could be also to say it rapidly, as we've seen before, such an approach of a Balkeri's Torah-related study in a rapid fashion. But the Kotsar, generally speaking, would be reduce the text, say a shortened and abridged version. Yorad Litbol, im yochol lalois viliskasis vilikrois ad shalote honet sachamo yale viliskasa vikra. A person went to the mikveh, and it's in early morning hours before the actual sunrise, and the issue is best time for kriyashma recitation, and best time for that is right before sunrise. So we're describing a person who went into the mikveh, and we're given a time frame that if he can get out of the mikveh and cloak himself and say the kriyashma all before sunrise, then he should do thusly. The imlav, if the time frame is more limited than that, we say yiskase b'mayim v'yikra, then he should cover himself in the water and say kriyashma like that. V'lo yiskase lo b'mayim horoyim v'lo b'mei hamashra ad shiyatil v'soichon mayim. He shall not cover himself with foul-smelling water, nor with flax water. Flax water is water in which flax were soaked. Flax is the raw material for the manufacture of linen. Until achiyati l'soichon mayim, this expression will be dealt with later in the Gemara. It's not very clear what it's doing here right now. V'kamo yarchik mehen uminatso, how far should one distance himself from urine and from feces? Arba amos, a distance of 4 amos. Tonu Rabbanan. Before we continue in the Gemara, our Nosei, the topic heading on the side, features three topics that will be featured in the Gemara. Hoy Oimei Betfila, one, Nizkar Shebal Keri. You remember he was a Bal Keri. Number two, Royat Soya Kenegdo. He notices dung or feces opposite him. And three, Mayim Sheshesin Albirkov. In the middle of his davening, he feels urine is escaping between his legs. The Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Hoy Oimei Betfila Vinizkar Shehu Bal Keri, Lo Yafsik Eli Yakatzer. If he was standing in Shemona Esrei, davening Shemona Esrei, and remembered that he was a Baal Keri, he shouldn't stop, but rather shorten the brachas, as we saw in the Mishnah. He was reading from the Torah and remembered he was a Baal Keri. Eino mafsig v'oila, he doesn't stop and leave. Elo megamgein v'kori, but rather reads quickly. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ein Baal Keri rashoi lukrois b'ptura yoyser mishloisha psukim. A Baal Keri is not allowed to read any more than three psukim. Rashi explains the number three psukim is the minimum amount that may be that can be read in order to fulfill the public Torah reading requirement. So three, yes, but not more. Tanya Idach, we have another Tanaic source that we're calling number one because we're going to want to resolve this with a source that we will label as number two. The source says, "Hoy oimid betfila v'roya v'rot soya kenegdo." He was in the midst of Shemona Esrei and noticed some dung opposite him. Mahalich lefonav atshizurkeno la'achorov arba amos. He, bearing in mind, he's in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Well, he can't continue like this because the place is not fit. He's standing opposite some waste. So he is told to walk ahead. Let's say, for example, if he saw the four, he saw the tzoa in front of him, three amas in front of him, he should walk a distance of seven amas ahead so that the tzoa is now four amas behind him. V'ha tanya litzdodin, we have a source that says he walks off to his side. Lo kashya, there's no argument between these two sources. Hode Efsher, Hode Lo Efsher. Source number one is where he is able to continue walking a forward distance of four amos. In other words, there's no cliff in front of him, so he can continue walking there. Hode Lo Efsher, a situation where he is positioned in such a way that he can't walk forward four amos, he still has the option and requirement of distancing himself from the tzoya, so he walks off to his side. He walks off to the side four amos. Hoyimispalo umotsu tzoya bimukoimoi. A person is davening and found tzoa on his body. Bimukomo means in its place where tzoa would ordinarily be found. Omar Rabo, afalpi shechoto. We'll see Rabo represents the first of two approaches to this matter. He says, even though he sinned by not cleaning himself properly before the prayer, before davening. Even though he sinned, filaso tfila, his tfila is nevertheless considered a prayer with whereby he fulfills his requirement. Maskif lo rova. Rava challenges this and says, "Vaha zevach rishoyim toyeva." Literally, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. And the parallel is quite obvious, where saying prayer in a fashion where he could have cleaned himself beforehand and didn't, this is the heights of irresponsibility. And prayer is parallel to a sacrifice. In fact, we learn Tfilos Keneged Tamidim Tiknum. This is something that we will learn in this Masechta, that the prayers were established in honor of the daily sacrifices. So the sacrifice of someone who is considered a Rosha is a toev, an abomination. Elo Amar Rava, hoyul v'chata, since he sinned by not cleansing himself properly before davening, afal pishis pal, even though he davened, filasa toeva, his tefila is an abomination. The Tosfos says, v'havei me'uvus lo yuchal liskoin, and it's something that he cannot make up. He blew it. The Re's approach to this is the Yachzor Vizpalo, that it's not a total loss, but rather he's expected to daven a second time. Tanu Rabbanan, Hoya Oimei Betfila Umayim Shesan Birkov. Person is in the midst of Shmon Esrei, and he feels urine dribbling down his feet. Birkov literally are on his knees. Posek ad shichlu hamayim, he shall stop until the this exiting of water stop, water of urine stops. V'choizu misbal, then continues his davening. Lahechon choser, at to what point does he return when we say he continues? Rav Chisda, Rav Luna, two opinions arguing about this. Chadam Rechoyz, the verse 1 says he is to go back to the beginning. In other words, everything that he has said till now was of no prayer value. The Chad Omar, Lemokim Shepasak, he goes back to the point that he broke, that he paused. Lema the Hall Kamifli, shall we say that the following is the basis of their argument? Mor Sovar, we're at the top of Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. That one holds im shoha kedei ligmor es kula choser larosh, that if one paused enough time to say the whole prayer, then he's expected to go back to the beginning. Umor sovar lemokam shepasak, and the other opinion holds that even if you paused so long as kedei ligmor es kula, it is not it's not considered a break, to the extent that you lose whatever you said before, but you pick up where you left off. So should we say that that is their point of machlokas? Making an assumption that they broke that amount of time, the machlokas then would be, what is the resuming point? Omar Ravashi, Ravashi responds and says, no, that is not their machlokas. If it was, that hai im shah im lo shah mi boyale, the issue of length of delay should have appeared in their original comments, but there was no reference to the amount of time that they delayed. Ela, rather, the kule almo im shah kedei ligmor es kule choizel rosh. Ravashi says that Rav Chisda and Rav Amnuna wouldn't argue about that scenario of a person pausing enough time to have finished the whole prayer, the whole Shmoneh Esrei. In such a case, if it's such a long break, then everyone would agree, Choizer LaRosh, that you go back to the beginning. Let's just note that there is a Tosfos that discusses this particular point, and it's found out of place. It's found on Daf Chof Beis, Omid Beis. Continuing in the Gemara, the Hocha B'Delo Shah Kamiflagi, the issue between Rav Hamnun and Rav Chisda is a case where he did not pause. He paused a short, let's say a shorter pause. It's below shoha komifligi. There was no, let's just say literally, there was no pause. You have a person who felt the urine emanating from him, dribbling between his legs, and he didn't pause that long a pause. It was instructed to stop until it stopped. So he stopped his prayer until the dribbling stopped, but it wasn't a very long break, and still you have this machlokes. The more sovar gavro dechuyahu, the opinion that says he has to go back to the beginning is because this person was someone who was unfit. Dechuyah literally is pushed away, meaning he was unfit to daven in the first place. Because you're describing a person that at the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei he had a need to relieve himself and he didn't do so. So by not doing so, he's considered unfit for davening. The Ein Roy, and therefore he's not fit. The Ein Tefilah, so tefilah is not of any tefilah value. Therefore, everything he said till now was of no value. He has to therefore go back to the beginning. Omar Sovar, the other opinion that says just pick up where you left off, holds Gavro Chazio Hu. The man himself, he was fit for davening. It may be explained that in the context of urine, the only actual prohibition, actual meaning fundamental or original prohibition, is to pray while an actual stream of urine is flowing forth. That is not the case over here. The dribbling of the urine, the dripping of the urine, is not the case of an actual flow, which is characteristic of normal urination. Therefore, we can say Gavro Chazio, he was fit for davening, and tefillah so tefillah, and whatever he said till now was of tefillah value. So all that is necessary picks up from this point, from the point that he paused. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.